sweat technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Did we miss anybody in our top 10? This jerk says Lorenzo Charles. Go Wolfpack.
Ouch.
Unreal. You troll. I kind of admire the troll. This guy.
No Cozell McQueen?
Was he on the Wolfpack?
Yeah.
Terry Gannon was on that team.
Yes, he was. The announcer.
I didn't know that until watching that 30 for 30.
Multifaceted Terry Gannon.
That's enough about that team. 1772, Larry Bird, Yao Ming, Dwight Howard over Robinson, and either Malone. I'm not putting Dwight Howard over Robinson or Malone. I would have Robinson higher than Dwight. I'm not putting Yao Ming there. I think Yao Ming would kind of struggle in today's NBA, actually, because he was very slow defensively.
He was slow, period.
Yeah.
Right? That's where getting up and down the floor at a very fast-paced, more helter-skelter NBA game, I think Yao would struggle with just that.
I love Larry Bird.
You could run Yao off the court, I think.
I think so, too. Yep. I love Larry Bird. I can't put Larry Bird at center. I tried. He played a little power forward during the Boston days.
If you could put Larry Bird at center, you could put Magic at center.
He played a little bit at the four when Mikal was off the floor. Like, he would play a little power forward.
But when you got that front line.
I think they would slide Mikal to the five at times, too, when Parrish was off the floor.
When Chief was off the floor.
Yeah. So, like, he would play a little bit of the four, not his primary position. But I really try, because I love Larry Bird. I think Larry Bird's the most underrated NBA player ever.
If we're really going to cheat, you could have put Magic at center. He played center in the finals.
That's true. He played it in the finals against the Sixers.
Yeah, I might have a new number 10.
That's very true. That's a very, very accurate statement.
I might have a new number 10. Should Joel Embiid be in the conversation?
I don't think so.
He's got to get to the finals.
He can't stay healthy, and his game is a lot of weak sauce.
This guy said Dennis Rodman.
Someone made the comparison. I forget. It might have been someone texted into the morning show, but that Joel Embiid is more James Harden at 7 foot.
I can see it.
Yeah, he looks to get contact. He plays to get fouled. He's soft. He's always whining and hurt. What are you shaking your head?
I'm sorry. This texture just said Boban and Yao have the same skill level, just played in two different NBA.
Oh, that's a horrible take.
Night. Stop it.
Save that for Thursday, real quick.
Oh man, that I'm sorry, I got disgusted there.
I don't think he's a top 10 guy, but one name to mention maybe as an almost. I know more of a defensive player, but he was an elite defensive player, Dikembe Mutombo.
In his prime,
I think he's a top 10 defensive center.
Offensively, in today's NBA, when you really have to be versatile too and face the basket, he can't do any of
that.
He could do everything like a Clint Capella does. He could run the floor and dunk.
Yeah, but I mean, we were not talking about Clint Capella in the top 10 greatest centers ever.
We're not.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. David, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, David?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
I was listening to you guys talk about the top 10 centers and whatnot. And I know it's the Homer thing, you know, Akeem. And you can't go wrong with Akeem. But I have to put Kareem number one. One of the reasons that you have to realize SportsCenter wasn't around, so a lot of people didn't see Kareem doing his top days. You only saw towards the end when it was more of a Magic team. But I was at the Summit here in Houston, and I watched Kareem put 45 on Akeem. 45, and he wasn't even in his prime, and
Akeem
couldn't do nothing with the skyhook.
Yeah, that's a good point. David. You're right, we are homers.
I was at the Dome and saw Elvin play Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, Cougars won that game. Don't ask how they went in the Final Four, though. Many people would say that the skyhook was the most dominant shot, like the one you couldn't defend.
Yeah.
I've had some basketball people that I respect more than any other basketball person that tells me that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he would have him as this number one player ever. So I respect his opinion and I respect that answer. So I don't have much of a pushback for Kareem.
I told you that.
Other than Akeem is certainly the
Houston.
I thought
that caller was pretty smart.
Yeah, I think it's a good take.
Of course, because he agrees with you. I think you talk about just the most unguardable shots.
Yes.
In the history of the game, skyhook has to be number one.
Where would you put the dreams, or where would you put Akeem's fadeaway in that?
It's in the conversation after the skyhook.
Yeah, skyhook. Shaq's dunk is probably number one for me, Wilt's dunk.
I can tell you one that's underrated, but that for a long time a lot of people would tell you, and that's Jack Sigma's post fadeaway on the baseline, because he put it over his head and he put it in such a way that he threw arc on it that it was tough to defend. and it was the only guy in the league that could do it the way he did it, and it was very, very effective. But I think the sky hook was there's nothing even close to it in terms of the one single shot that you just – I mean, Dirk's one-footed fadeaway is in there, too.
I was going to bring Dirk into this conversation because, I mean, I didn't take him as a center, so I didn't put him in the list. But if we're just opening it up to anyone you want to put at center
– you can play center at. I wouldn't have Dirk. Dirk would be a fantastic center today's game.
Dirk
I think he would get killed defensively.
He might get bodied a little bit. But on the flip side, I think he could get a lot of centers in foul trouble, bringing him away from the basket.
Sure. You would have to have a good athletic center to like just defend him. It'd be different, though, because like you wouldn't need like a big body guy. You would be, you know, kind of leaner, faster, athletic. Uh-huh. What was it like watching George Mikan play?
It depends. I mean, when he was in Minneapolis, it was one thing. But, you know, as they transitioned into the Lakers era, it was very much a struggle for
him. Well played. Yeah. People are asking us about Ewing. Come on, man. We're in Houston.
He's not athletic enough.
Ewing's a stiff.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Ewing at Georgetown was athletic enough.
You're wanting to put Dikembe Mutombo on this list, and you wouldn't consider Ewing? Ewing was a far better offensive player than Dikembe Mutombo.
Mutombo was a bad
But we're talking about translating to today's game. The Ewing that we saw in the 90s with the Knicks was not nearly the athlete that we saw in the 80s with Georgetown. I don't think he would fit all that well.
He got better as a shooter with the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't think he was a better shooter. He could knock down like a 15-foot baseline jumper. But I agree with Brian on this one. Ewing's not even close to my top 10. Vlade Divac is mentioned here. Come on. Kevin Garnett was on my short list, actually.
If you want to put him at center, sure.
Because I think he could play center in today's NBA.
If he filled out a little bit like he did during the course of his career.
But even in today's NBA, you don't really need to.
Today's NBA, would Giannis be a center?
Somebody texted Giannis. Giannis is borderline.
By the time, yeah, for sure.
Giannis is borderline. Mikal's up and under, most underrated forward ever. You could play him at the center NBA.
Mikal would be more successful in today's NBA because you couldn't touch him.
And he could shoot.
Yep.
Arvydas Sabonis.
Underrated because we never saw him in his prime.
Yeah.
Man, that dude, and you talk to anybody in basketball. Yeah, you're right.
A little slow for nowadays.
But when you talk about like Jokic's passing and all that, Sabonis was like that for the Russian team all the time.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Wayne, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Wayne? Wayne?
Hello, hey, yeah, Wayne. I was talking about Arvydas Sabonis also, but you already got to it.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think he's in the top 10, top 15, top 20?
In this area, yes. Yes, I do.
What about my critique would be that he's a little slow. Little slow to keep up with the fast centers of nowadays.
Yeah, but his passing and court business, just like Jokic, and he would develop a shot.
That'd be interesting.
And I would say that because if he's slow, then Jokic is a little slow.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I think Arvydas Sabonis' game is very similar to Jokic.
Agreed.
Appreciate the call, Wayne. Where would you have Sabonis? Like, you didn't have him in your top 10, but does he crack
top
your...
Top 15.
Really?
Top 15. I mean, if you get prime...
I wonder how fast he was in his prime, because I never saw that.
Like, if you go back just to look at when they do documentaries and things about, like, was it the early 70s Olympics and stuff like that?
Yeah.
He was, you know, when he was Portland, he really filled out, kind of like we were talking about with Shaq. But when you look at when he was playing with the Russian national teams, he was lean and he was running. And, boy, offensively, he could face the bat. He could score from anywhere. And they didn't have a three-point line, I don't think.
Yeah, the three-point line came in the league in, what, the 80s?
Yeah, it was Chris Ford was the first one to ever hit a three-pointer, and that was in the early 80s, I think.
Where would you have Paul Gasol? Would he even be in the conversation?
I don't think so.
Rasheed Wallace?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he would be there either. Alonzo Mourning?
Today's NBA is very – it would be a better game for Paul Gasol.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you want to get a body as much.
More of a finesse center.
More finesse center.
And he definitely excelled facing the basket.
People are trolling. Sean Bradley. Oh, God. Sucked the gravity right out of the building.
T-Max.
Does Wemby ever get there?
Someone texted Wemby.
I think Wemby could get there eventually.
He's got a long way to go, but he's got the skill.
He's got the touch offensively, yep.
We argue about that a little bit. What did he shoot from three this year?
I don't know what he shot from three this year, but I think it's going to get better every year.
It should. He has a chance because he has a skill set that not many people are going to have, and it's going to depend on really him. Like, mm-hmm. is he going to put in the work to become a guy who can, you know, reach his potential? I think we got them all.
I think we covered some good ground.
I think we probably named the top 15 guys in today's NBA. Today's NBA. Jokic doesn't crack our top five.
No,
doesn't crack our top five.
Nope.
Now
I think that's all predominantly defensively.
His resume might go down as one of the best ever, though.
I just think that he gets sold short because of his just because of how he looks.
You're probably right.
He's going to be, what, a three-time MVP?
This year, yeah, and he probably should have won it last year.
He probably should have, but he probably could have lost it the year before to Embiid, so they kind of flip-flopped him.
Fair enough.
But I still think if you're a three-time MVP, you got to give the man his due as one of the greatest of all time.
I think there's only six guys who have been three-time MVPs. And I think there's only been three.
Michael,
been four.
Bird.
I looked it up the other day.
Michael Bird, was Magic three times?
Bird
was Magic three times.
Magic MVP. Was three-time.
So Michael Bird and Magic,
LeBron?
Sure.
Kareem, LeBron, Wilt, and Bill Russell.
Seven?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Yes. Yeah,
what did I say, six? Seven,
yeah,
guys.
You said seven.
Seven guys. So he'll be the eighth that have won four or more.
That says it all right there.
Yeah, and Larry, Magic, and Moses won three. So if he gets to four, he's going to be in the company with Kareem, Jordan, Russell, Wilt, LeBron.
Whew.
Like, he's going to have one of the greatest resumes of all time. He might not be.
And that, in a nutshell, is why Embiid isn't there when everybody wants to give him his flowers.
No, not even close. So, like, that's why there's a difference in my mind of resume and talent. Like, I would go Hakeem ahead of Jokic. I think when it's all said and done, Jokic's resume, at least offensively,
could be.
And MVPs mm-hmm. are going to be, well, I mean, he's already going to have more MVPs.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, and in today's game, it's more conducive to scoring. So he's probably going to have more points.
Yeah. Like Olajuwon's got him on all the defense.
All the defense. You know,
all-time shot blocker, like top 10 in steals. But, I mean, Jokic is going to be on a short list of dudes with MVPs. Certainly one of the most underrated ever. Up there with Larry Bird, up there with Steve Nash. 713-780-ESPN. There's a superstar in the NBA that's disgruntled. Should the Rockets be interested in him? He is Kevin Durant. Should the Rockets be interested in he? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what that is, but you're struggling with hair loss, pattern baldness, and you want to get your hair back, and you don't want to experiment with all the gimmicky things like sprays and creams and foams, you need to check it out. And because you listen to us, you can check it out for free. It normally costs $150 to set up an appointment with Doc and his staff. You get it for free because you listen to us by going to 975hair.com. Go to 975hair.com right now. Sign up for an appointment. Go in, ask questions. It's a consultation. You can ask questions, get answers, have them explain the procedure, figure out if it's right for you. Because the bottom line is there's no money out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line, and there's a variety of different ways he can help. If you've had thinning but not complete loss of hair, he could also do the NeoGraft, or he could do other things with PRP, which can stimulate the blood, develop a thicker, stronger hair follicles, and maybe be something that you can try before you even get to the fact of doing the NeoGraft. I did the NeoGraft, could not be happier with it. Best results that I ever could have expected and more. It fulfilled all my wildest dreams in terms of getting my hairline back in front, and it's all because Doc Linville's the best in the business, and the procedure works. It's that simple. But you check it out for yourself. Go in, sign up for a consultation online at 975hair.com, and tell them I sent you by, and see if you can get the information and you might be the next in line. Because those of us that have had the procedure cannot stop talking about how great it is and how the results are there on a daily basis. And because what Doc explained to me is true, genetically you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. When he takes some of that hair, puts it where you need it most, it ain't going anywhere. It's going to be with you for the rest of your life, and that's just another encouraging stat. 95 to 99% of the follicles he's going to move, they're going to stay and grow and be with you for the rest of your time on this planet. That's exactly why I did the procedure. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Battery Chuck just broke some news. Mike Trout is going to need knee surgery.
Sorry. Yeah.
Torn meniscus. Is that the breaking news sounder?
Yeah.
A little
That's
late.
The breaking news sounder.
It's a little late.
I didn't know what happened. I didn't know what happened.
You got scooped by Battery Chuck. Imagine you got scooped.
During the break,
by
they ran
Battery
another
Chuck.
Crawl on ESPN.
There you go. Battery Chuck out scooping all of us. That stinks for
How
that
long?
Stinks for Trout. They say it's not expected to be season ending. but
that's another year and another injury.
He's had a hot start too. A bunch of home runs. Anthony Rendon pulled his hamstring. I was at the game where Anthony Rendon pulled his hamstring. It was against the Reds, and I went to that game.
I lost all respect for Anthony Rendon after the whole comments about.
Is it worse than what LeBron said? It's just basketball.
Yeah, but when we talk about guys that don't love the game, I think LeBron loves the game, and I think there's a case to be made that Rendon doesn't.
I don't see there much difference in their quotes, though. Like, Rendon's like, yeah, this is a job for me. I'm going to show up.
The whole interview, though, Rendon was just like.
He's always been that way. But, I mean, LeBron says it's just basketball. Like, that's the same message.
I went and saw him play. I used to watch him play at Rice and thought he was a hell of a player. And it just, I lost a lot of respect for him with all that.
Stuff. Rendon hit the furthest baseball I've ever seen in my life. Where? Real life. At Cougar Field at the time, Schrader Park now. He one-hopped the McDonald's and left. Ooh. This was the old aluminum bat days. It was the last year of aluminum bats.
That's a shot.
Furthest ball I've ever seen hit.
Wow.
Now, it was aluminum bats, the final year of the aluminum bats, but Rendon one-hopped the McDonald's at Schrader Park.
That's a bomb.
It was a bomb. Yeah. I think he had 8 RBIs in the first 2 innings in that game. Yeah, we didn't get – needless to say, Rice won that game.
When Rice used to win ball games.
Yeah, that was whenever they were still really good. Wayne Graham was still – like, they were rolling. They were real good.
I think they looked back and said they probably should have let Wayne stay a little longer.
Yeah, it was going down a little bit with Wayne, but it was still way better than it is now. Exactly. There's a lot of other like little things that like led to Rice not being as good. I hope they get it back, though. And I know I say that as a Cougar, but Rice should be good at baseball every single year. Mm-hmm.
That was their sport.
It feels normal when Rice is good at baseball. So Kevin Durant's the unhappy superstar.
Yep.
Of course, they lost. They got they got eliminated by, what'd you call it, new hotness? Brian called the Minnesota Timberwolves. He called them new.
Specifically Ant.
Yeah, specifically.
Yeah, because the conversation now is he's the face of the NBA already.
No. He might be the best player in the NBA.
A lot of people are saying he's the new face.
Nah, I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I think there's a difference between being the face that runs the place and being the best player in the league. Because you usually have to be one of the best players in the league for multiple years before you're the face. I think LeBron's still the face over.
I would agree.
I'd rather have Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like popularity for the league, it's still LeBron. Anyways, Kevin Durant unhappy, wasn't comfortable with his role in Phoenix this season. I went and Twitter searched this, and like there was reports of this like since Christmas.
Yeah, Frank Vogel's gonna be gone.
Probably so. Yeah, so is Darvin Ham.
That's crazy to me.
If Kevin Durant is on the trade block, should the Rockets and Rafael Stone be calling?
I think they should.
Okay.
I think they should at least kick the tires. They need to find out what the asking price is, because it was funny you put this down there because of the fact that one of my buddies I play basketball with texted me 2 days ago, and he's like, hey, I was doing some fooling around with Trade Tracker and things like that and looking at some things. Durant works for Van Vliet and Jalen and some sweeteners. Would you do it? I said, I don't think Phoenix would, because I think their new owner is just enamored with Kevin Durant. But he is another guy. We talk about owners that have meddled too far. He meddled way too far once he bought the team. But I think they only have 3 guys they can move this offseason. They can only move Booker, KD, or Nurkic. I don't think they're going to move the first 2 guys. I think they're going to try and get something for Nurkic to try and make that team a little bit better. They're stuck. But if Kevin Durant wants out, you don't know what Jalen's ever going to be. Fred VanVleet is just holding a spot and filling a role and taking up a salary, and he's been okay. But if somehow, some way, that's the starter to a conversation where those 2 guys and some sweeteners can get you Kevin Durant, you're damn right you do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up one of the young players, even Jalen Green. Durant's old. Kevin Durant's going to be 36 next year. I would be interested in Kevin Durant if I'm not trading one of my young nucleus pieces. I mean, Durant's going to give you an automatic 25 a night. He's going to shoot really well, but I'm not trading Jalen Green for 36-year-old Kevin Durant. If you can figure out how to make it work with like draft picks, some of your fringe young guys that aren't part of your core, and then make the salaries work, then I would be interested in that. But I'm not interested in trading Jalen Green for Kevin Durant.
I just don't know what Jalen Green's going to be, but I know what Kevin Durant's going to be for the next, I think, still the next 3-4 years.
Well, he's close to 40.
Doesn't matter, though. He's kind of like LeBron because he's got a slighter frame where he's not putting on the extra weight. He's not thickening up. And he just won his 4th scoring title. Since the Michael Jordan era, there's only 2 guys that have won 4.
He's yeah, but I don't. This is back a baseball card.
Right, but he won it this year. He just won the scoring title this year.
Durant?
Didn't he?
I don't think so. He had 27 a game. That didn't lead the league, did it?
No, 30, at least late in the year, 30 was going to get it.
Yeah, but 27, he averaged 27 this year. The leader was Luka. He had 34 a game.
Okay, so regardless,
Durant was fifth.
He's 1-4. But if he's averaging 27 a game at this age, I don't think he's looked like he's slowed down. He's had to carry more of a load because that team constantly had guys sitting out. I think that you would have a bona fide superstar for the next 2-3 years.
See, I don't know.
First of all, the Van Vliet part of it, I'm doing that already. That's done.
Sure.
And then if it's Jalen, the guy that they want, because he's been so up and down and you just don't know what he can be, I'd be listening to that conversation.
And to argue your side of it too, I think there's a real chance that Jalen Green, you let him enter free agency as a restricted free agent, and if you get back a contract that he or an offer sheet that he signs that you don't like, I think there's a chance you let him walk for free.
Yeah, or you try and work out some kind of a deal.
So it could be 1 year, yeah, or a sign and trade. It could be 1 year of Jalen Green to argue your side of it. I'm not trading Jalen Green for Durant. I understand people that would because Durant's going to be more consistent. I just don't think that it fits the plight of this organization.
But if that's the only young piece you have to give up and you keep the rest of your roster intact and you have and you still have and I don't know if the Brooklyn pick would have to factor in or not.
See, that's where I'm at. Like, I'll trade you picks and, like, Cam Whitmore and then salary fits, Fred VanVleet. For Durant. I can't trade Green. I can't trade Jabari. Alpi, no. Might be more inclined to trade Alpi than Jalen, but it's kind of a position similarity with Durant, so that creates a mess there. Not trading him in for Durant.
Phoenix wouldn't touch Brooks, but I'd love to throw him in the deal.
Why don't you think they would touch him?
Because of the contract.
They'd also be going in a different direction if they're trading a Durant.
Because they're definitely trying to win now. So you're trying to put pieces around the rest of that roster. But I just think that Matt, what's his name, is so their owner is so enamored of all the guys that he traded for. He loves him some Kevin Durant.
Ray says, no. Just build this young core. Don't need a superstar right now. I think you could always use a superstar.
Yes, I agree.
Brandon T, I do not want to risk part of the Rockets' future for who will be a 36-year-old Kevin Durant. He'll be a 36-year-old. It's a lot. Now, Durant's the better player of the trade. No doubt about that. Durant's still better than Jalen Green. Durant's legacy has taken a hit the past couple of seasons. I don't think Houston should touch him. Go after Booker, 409 Josh. I think they'd be less inclined to trade Booker, though, right?
Right.
Like, if Booker's
Stephen
on the trade
Stephen A. started
block,
this whole rumor that he wants to be a Knick, and everybody's just hammering Stephen A. because he really didn't have sources, per se. But Booker's the better, younger, talented player that is not going anywhere because he was there before Beal and KD.
So I would trade for Booker before Durant.
For sure.
I don't think that they would trade Booker before Durant. I think Durant could be on the block this year. I think, you know where I think Durant ends up? Oklahoma City. I think he goes back to OKC.
Well, they got a lot of assets to give up.
A lot of assets. I don't think they have to trade from their foundation.
And they've got a veteran, but yet a very young veteran that if you pair him, that combination could work. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Kevin Durant would work, but I would think Phoenix is that's who they're targeting if they're looking, and I don't think OKC's partnering.
Yeah, it would almost take Phoenix almost like in a mini rebuild where they would have to go youth draft picks and
but you can't they might you gave not, up yeah. all your assets when you got Beal and KD.
That's the thing. Beal trade's killing them.
It is absolutely annihilating
them. Would you rather have Beal or Durant on the Rockets?
Oh, Kevin Durant.
Me too, even though he's older.
Look at how much Beal hardly played this year.
There's something to be said about good players on bad teams. And then they go to good teams, and then they're not really
relevant.
And he's
got a full no trade.
Yeah, 0315. I guess he could sign off on it if he accepted it. 0315, stay away from Durant. Develop and coach the players you have now. I err on that side, too.
I think if you asked Adoka, I think he'd take Kevin Durant in a heartbeat.
You're probably right. I think you're right. I think Ime would rather have Durant than Jalen Green. And I think the thing that we're underselling here is that Jalen Green could be in the final year with the Rockets because he's in the final year of his deal.
And if you don't believe he's a max player, people don't believe he's a max player, and like you said, if he goes into restricted free agency, they're probably not going to want to pay what some other team that thinks that a change of scenery at a young player, they're willing to take a risk on and pay more for. Why not? You're instantly better. Now we talk about these playoff possibilities for the Rockets next year and everything like that. Chances go way up. You're a playoff team if you had Kevin Durant to this team and all you give up is Van Vliet, whose minutes were starting to come down and his scoring was coming down because of the play of all the young players. If you only got to give up Jalen and a guy that you don't need in the long term anyway in Van Vliet, and you add a guy like Durant, you're a better team.
That's probably what it comes down to. Would you trade Jalen Green for Kevin Durant? I think that's the question you have to ask. I'm not there. You're there. Yep. Listeners, where are you? 713-780-3776. All right, time for our Will of Bits. You never know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be great. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
Let's remember books we've read.
I was a little bit bothered by myself not remembering the books I read in high school. So I went back and I asked friends from high school what books we read in high school.
Okay.
And some of them started to come back to me. But I've also read more books than books I've just read in high school. I'm currently reading two books, by the way. One's called Outlive. One's about science, proving that God created the universe. I read the Bible once a year. Other ones that I read in high school, The Great Gatsby. I think I mentioned that one yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I did. Maybe not. But I read The Great Gatsby. Okay. Read Romeo and Juliet. Didn't like it. Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I read in high school.
That was another one.
I read Nickel and Dimed in college. It was actually a pretty interesting book. The Most Dangerous Game. Remember that one where they're on an island and they're like hunting each other? You never read The Most Dangerous Game? Did you read The Most Dangerous Game?
I haven't read the book, but I've heard the term that man is the most dangerous game.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies. We had to read that in high school. I read that one in high school.
Yep,
Lord of the Flies. Beowulf. Remember that one, like the big monster? I read that one in high school. Books that I've read that were outside of school, because I am a well-read guy. Not really. Agassiz biography. Great biography. It's really good. Read the Social Network book about the invention of Facebook, the Winklevosses, all of that. Eduardo Saucerón or whatever his name was. Bringing Down the House, which is the one about where the MIT students, they learned how to play blackjack.
Oh,
and they were breaking.
That was a movie,
really
right?
Really good book. Yeah, it was called 21.
Yes, it was.
The movie was 21. The book was called Bringing Down the House, but the movie was on the book. Dan Harrington's poker books. How could you not read those?
I read Daniel Negreanu's poker book.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think I read Helmuth's too, but it wasn't very good. Harrington's were great, especially from like a strategy point of view. Season on the Brink. Fantastic
Bobby Knight.
Book. It's a fantastic book. Wild Diet. The Simple Path to Wealth. Whitewash. Good for my conspiracy theories. Essentialism. Dueling with Kings. Astro Ball. Money Ball. How to Work a Room. The Last Great Game. No Easy Day. Isaac Storm, Loose Balls, Get Capone, a book on Whitey Bulger, but I can't remember the title. I couldn't find it. A Quiet Confidence, The Extra 2%. I read the ESPN book. That was painful.
I did too because it was so painful. Long. So long.
That was a hard one to finish. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which I'm working on half of one right now. American Sniper. I read the Mickey Ward Arturo Gatti book. I forget what it was called, though. Do you remember?
No. I didn't know they had a book on it.
It's pretty good.
Is it specifically on the first fight or the whole trilogy?
No, it was about the whole trilogy.
Okay.
It's about the whole trilogy. It was after the trilogy. Winning Fixes Everything. 11 Rings, which is the Phil Jackson book. Ironically, I've read Friday Night Lights. We had a smart aleck a little earlier, so you don't read Friday Night Lights. And then Long Walk to Freedom. Those are the only books. I'm sure there's a few I forgot here.
See, I was going to say, I can't remember because a lot of times.
It's hard to remember.
And then, when I was working for the Rockets and Jim Foley was a massive book reader.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would be like, I'm done with this, Joel. Take this one. What do you got for me? And then just go in my office and grab a book off the shelf that I had read. And then, you don't need the book back. But
no. Somebody stole my, I let somebody borrow the Bringing Down the House and they never gave it back.
Yep.
But I'm not going to read a book twice. So I didn't care that much. But yeah, I spent the whole drive home yesterday trying to remember the books I've written. Now it did help because I've read most of my books on my iPad. So it's like most of these books, not the ones I read in school, they're on my books. Like you just go into your library.
And you can look in their list. Yeah.
Yeah. So like most of these were in my library. I read whenever. I don't read much. Now, the two books I'm currently reading, I have in two different spots in my house. Depends on where I'm at in my house. And then the other ones I read whenever I'm traveling.
Tuesdays with Maury is a phenomenal book.
I've heard of it. Never.
Mitch Albom.
Mitch Albom. That's the sports guy, right?
Yeah, he was just a sports guy.
Meet the Press?
Because he now does. He's had a lot of best-selling books now that aren't sports, but he gives a majority of the proceeds to underprivileged kids across the world.
Really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But it was his college professor, and his college professor was on his deathbed, and he went back and spent a bunch of time with him, and just kind of like the real world advice and things that came out of it, his professor was amazing.
Yeah. What else have y'all read?
Man, there's a whole bookcase.
Do you read a lot?
I used to when we traveled a lot.
Yeah. That's the only time that I'll read. Like, whenever I'm not traveling, well, I mean, there's other times I read in the house, but, you know, that's kind of, you know, depending
on
what
I'm
doing.
Yeah, when we were on road trips all the time, books and movies all the time.
Shrimp Boat says, how to get TikTok views for dummies. You don't need a book for that. But at Jeremy J. Branham. Yeah, so that's what I've read.
I'm surprised you didn't read The Punch, another Feinstein book.
I did the Feinstein book about Rudy.
That's one I've read.
Oh, I never even heard that was there.
Yeah, that was the Rudy T. Kermit Washington.
You can read it. I got a copy of it. It's real good.
Yeah,
it's a little, you're not queasy, I don't think, but when you read about the details when he got in the locker room after the punch.
Yeah, I'll read it.
It was nasty.
I'll read it. Feinstein's the one who wrote
Season on the Brink.
Yep. Yeah, Season on the Brink. Yeah, I'll read that. The Punch
is pretty good.
Feinstein wrote a golf book that I've wanted to read, but I haven't. What is it called?
I know what you're talking about.
A Good Walk Spoiled.
I think I might have it.
I think I do have it, too.
Yeah.
A Good Walk Spoiled. I think it's about...
I read the Favre autobiography.
I think it's about Q School. A Good Walk Spoiled.
Maybe.
I think it's about Q School.
The
Agassi biography is really good.
The Favre drug use stuff was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
When was he using drugs? In the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
He had to go to rehab in the offseason.
What a guy that guy was. Just a great guy.
So he turned out to be real solid, right?
Yeah, the Whitey Bulger book's where I found out where he won the lottery twice.
That would be interesting.
Not because he was lucky, but because he robbed the guy that won the lottery on two separate occasions. And then, you know, Agassi, remember the long hair?
Yeah.
It was a wig.
Yeah, that's right. He was losing
his
hair.
It was a wig. Agassi didn't have long hair. It was a wig.
With a headband.
Yeah. The biography is great. The biography.
I'd be interested in that one as well. But
yeah, it's on my
of the Whitey
iPad.
Bulger stuff is.
I love gangster books.
I love
books.
Organized crime books.
I do too.
Yeah,
I have a problem.
I love organized crime
books. That's why I've written Capone and Bulger. I feel like there's somebody else that I read too.
A lot of autobiographies that I've read.
Oh, that's Capone. That's Capone.
Yeah, I've read a lot of autobiographies. The ESPN book, which is like double the size of the Bible, it seems like. I think it is.
That's the hardest marathon. That's the hardest read I've ever read.
Yeah.
I've ever read. I don't do fiction really either. Like, as you might be able to tell,
I don't
a whole lot of fiction. People offer me like fiction. I'm not interested.
I agree.
All right. What's our car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN. What are you nominating for our car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Yeah, Hunter Brown on the mound tonight for the Astros. He pitches opposite of Cookie Carrasco. Hunter Brown 0-4 with a 9.68 ERA. It's good that it's sub-10. Cookie Carrasco 1-2, 4.63 ERA. Joey Loperfido makes his first major league start in left field batting 7th. And Jose Abreu has agreed to be optioned to the minors. Going to go to West Palm Beach to work through his struggles. That move will be official tomorrow. There will be a corresponding move tomorrow. Hunter Brown, all right, give us his line, and we'll say if we take it or not.
Oh, man.
We might have to change the song, too, if he sucks.
5 innings, 4 runs.
I'll take it. There should be a lot of offense today. Cookie Carrasco's not
great.
You think
they're going to get to Carrasco?
Yeah, he's not good.
Neither is Hunter Brown.
No, I know. That's why there should be a lot of offense today. I'll take 5 innings, 4 runs from Hunter Brown right now. If that's what I'm being offered, I'll take it right now.
Over-runs for the game over under at 11?
I'll have to look. I would say under 11. That's high.
9?
Let me look. Would you take 5 innings, 4 runs, Brian, while I look?
Over-under is 9.
Yeah, 11's high. I like the over there.
I 4 runs has me worried with some of the inconsistencies of the offense, but if you're giving me 5 innings that is not a blowout, I guess I'd have to take that.
Hunter Brown's last 5 games. Last game against Washington, 3 runs, 4 innings. Previously, 2 runs, 6 innings against Atlanta. That wasn't bad.
That was good.
9 runs and 2/3 of an inning, 5 runs and 3 innings, 1 run unearned in 4 innings was his first start against the Yankees. So he's done that once. Once in his 5 starts. So, yeah, I'll take that.
I hate saying that because I said to you during the break, I cringe at thinking of Hunter Brown on the mound tonight.
Astros are favored, -165. Okay. Favorites. You can get tickets as low as $7. All right.
Really?
That's what it says on ESPN.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Tuesday night game. Like, Tuesday nights are
still in.
Although it is dollar dog night.
Uh-huh. How many
dollar dogs can you put down?
Now?
I'm not putting down more than 2.
2?
I'm tapping out at 2. Like, if I'm trying to, I can do more than 2.
Yeah.
If I want to be comfortable for 9 innings, I'm eating 2.
If I'm comfortable for 9 innings, I'll eat 3.
Brian?
Yeah, I would. If I'm trying to be comfortable, 3. The most I've done was a number I'm ashamed of, but it was 9.
Wow.
Now, back in my 20s.
So you did 1 per inning.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, me and a buddy did 1 per inning back
in our 20s. That was the challenge, right? 1 beer and 1 dog per inning.
I didn't do the beer part, but yeah, I had a dog per inning.
And you could do it in however order.
Right.
You could do it. You get 9 beers, 9 dogs, 9 innings go.
And you could, you could just 1 of each every inning.
I couldn't do that. I would be too full.
Yeah, the beer, not only is it going to get you looped up a little bit, but boy, it fills you up. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Honey Glazed Brand, I'm no Leave This his song. This song sucks too. I agree. That song sucks, Branham. Well, if Hunter Brown pitches poorly today, we'll have a conversation about it. We'll have a grown-up conversation about it. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what are we nominating here, Blankers?
Starting off with the Los Angeles Lakers as a whole. The fact that you're going to put Darvin Ham on the hot seat because he had to deal with that freaking daycare center of attitudes when we all know LeBron tries to coach the team. Kudos to Magic Johnson, who came out today and said, let's face the facts, if this team didn't have so much load management and guys actually played games they were supposed to play, they shouldn't have been even in the play-in. But now, Darvin Ham may lose his job. LeBron didn't want to answer questions about his future, which is ridiculous too. But the LA Lakers are back to being a bleep show, and they have no one to blame but themselves, starting with their 2 best players, who take a whole hell of a lot of time off.
Yeah, see, my first car wreck of the day nomination is all the people banging on the Lakers. Why are the Lakers being banged on here? There's only 2 teams in the NBA this year that are going to hang a banner. Lakers are one of those 2 teams. Lakers are one of 2 teams in the NBA that are hanging a banner.
So
we shouldn't be banging on the Lakers. They're going to have a championship this year.
Their mayor, the mayor of Los Angeles, came out and said the exact thing you said and got hammered, so she had to take it down. She said, hey, good effort, Lakers, but at least we got the mid-season championship. And, like, Rachel Nichols was retweeting it, and everybody was going, are you kidding me? And she took it down.
No, she's right. It's only 2 teams that are hanging a banner. Yankers, the Lakers are 1. Congratulations. They should have a parade. They should have had a parade. What are you nominating?
I don't know if you saw the video, but Chiefs first-round pick Xavier Worthy Hookem got a tour of the Chiefs locker room, which I don't know if you saw the NFL PA survey, but ranked dead last in the league as far as the player satisfaction with that locker room. And you could read all over Xavier Worthy's face. He was not impressed with the Chiefs locker room.
They're not recruiting him.
You can't have Mahomes 3-time champions and have a locker room that poor. Unexcusable.
They're trying to renovate. There's also been talks they might get a new stadium.
Trying to get a new stadium.
Talk about moving. Yeah.
The U of H plays at Kansas at Arrowhead Stadium next year.
Ooh.
You going to try to check it out?
I'll be there. Yeah, working. What do you mean check it out?
Well, I think the actual locker room. I didn't know if you went to the locker room.
I'll go to the visiting
trips.
Locker room. Yeah.
Okay.
I won't go to the home locker room. So I'm sure the visiting locker room is way worse.
Probably.
I'm actually looking forward to it, even though it's a dump. Anything else? Got a couple of fans that have some.
Can we nominate Jose Abreu or the Astros front office for the situation that resulted today?
Let's go with the contract.
Jose
Abreu contract.
Okay.
I do tip my cat, though, that he's willing to accept a minor league assignment.
Yep.
That's admirable.
Pride.
It's admirable of him, even though he's not very good. And if you want to, inject him with performance-enhancing drugs, who am I to say that's wrong? Who am I? That's a personal decision. Virginia says, car wreck of the day, the bench thinking Old Yeller died of old age. I didn't hear them say that. But
well,
that's
there
hilarious.
Goes there goes a potential Who Said It clip I was about to pull.
Oh, you heard it?
No, I heard it. I wrote it down. I was going to pull it after the show today. Lance was confused as to how old Yoler died. Yeah, he didn't. he was trying to talk through the scenario and got it wrong about 30 different times.
Oh man, I should have said
that. Yeah, that was going to be.
Although
Who Said
I wouldn't
It
have,
clip.
I wouldn't have knew which of the two got it wrong.
Right, I wouldn't have either.
That's funny that they didn't. They didn't put that together. You know, take them out back.
No.
You take them out back and let them die of old age.
Foaming of the mouth of old age.
Oh, all right. What's winning? That one's pretty good.
You want to vote Lance? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Lance for not knowing the story of old Yeller. Yeah, congratulations. I mean, Lance sits in a cave and looks at NFL draft prospects. So he's our car wreck of the day for not knowing that. All right, coming up, Hall of Fame at 7, Spacers at 7:30 on ESPN 92.5. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Brand, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. So long, everybody.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.